Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
We're in this series, How to Cope During This Time, Keys for Coping. And last week we learned that we can learn to cope. Paul said, I have learned in whatever situation I am, whatever state I am, I have learned to be content. And through God's power, through God's word, we can learn to be content. Now today we all deal, if we're honest, with fear. We fear in many, many areas of our lives. Fear is something that can become overwhelming if we don't learn how to deal with it as God would have us deal with it. And I think in the past few weeks, there have been many instances or circumstances that in our minds cause us to fear. But fear can, it's wide range of things. You know, it's one thing to fear a snake. It's another thing to fear rejection, to fear losing our identity, to fear the future. I'm going to read for you a couple of stories that people related their fears. The first one is written by Augusta. And she writes her story as she's facing a decision to have an abortion. She said, my childhood was a nightmare. I didn't know what love was. I didn't believe in myself. I felt like things were growing, and the thing growing inside of me was an alien invading my personal freedom. I was so scared of people's judgment and my failure as a mom. But I decided to do what I thought was human. I took it day by day and asked God for strength and faith. And now I look at Sophia. She's 7, and I can't believe I would have almost killed her. She is the most beautiful soul. She believes in me and loves me in the way I've never been loved. And she said this, I could have made a decision out of fear, but I chose faith instead. Another person writes, I'm afraid that I'll become a homeless person and I won't have health insurance. She blurted this out to her coach, trying to explain she was afraid to leave her job and take some time off. But she said it captured my fear, a real fear I had that I would become destitute and run out of money. I think a lot of people have money fears today. Another person writes, my history with anxiety. I began to experience anxiety about 9 years ago. I was in a long-distance relationship with my husband, then my boyfriend. And we were talking about how we didn't want to lose each other and how much that would hurt. She said, during that time, I was a teacher, and I was afraid of my inability to teach, that I would be overwhelmed. One night while she was getting ready for bed, she said, I was watching a late night show and suddenly my heart started to go rate, my heart rate started to go up. I had this inexplicable sense of distortion. And she had to go to the hospital. And that started my 9-year battle with anxiety. Job said this many years ago, thousands of years ago. Job 3, verse 25, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Fear is that human condition. It's part of us. It's part of who we are. It's in us, and we can very easily fall into fear. I can remember as this, now I'm not usually a fearful person, but I can remember as this crisis started and the first few times we went to the store and couldn't find toilet paper, I remember coming home and all the rumors and listening to everything going on, I actually had a few brief moments of fear. And yesterday it was brought into perspective as I was talking to Pastor John, the Romanian pastor, and he was relating to me. He was actually asking me, like, what's going on? And he started talking about how it was under communism because the young people forget. And we were worried about getting toilet paper. He talked about in the Ukraine, standing in long, long lines, and you get to the end of the line, and there'd be one loaf of bread, and they'd ask you, how many people in your house? And they'd cut the bread and say, okay, you get one piece for everybody in your house for a week. Now, maybe we were out of toilet paper and out of flour, but every time I went to the store, there was plenty of bread. And it's interesting today, because if you believe the news, you would think we are in the worst time in the history of humanity. The truth is, statistically, we are in the most prosperous, healthiest time and peaceful time in human history. Daniel Gardner writes, we are the healthiest, wealthiest, and longest living people in history. And we are increasingly afraid. This is one of the great paradoxes of our time. Think about that. It is, as bad as it's been, it's not as bad as it could have been. It's not as bad as it is present. Because as Christians, we have a hope. We have a rock. We have a high tower. We have a God we can go to. We as Christians don't have to be overcome with fear. And yet as we enter this crisis, I'm sure all of us have had times when we were actually getting a little bit worried, getting a little bit afraid. But God is the one that is in charge. God is the one that guides our steps. God is the one that is present. And I want to give you encouragement today that God does not want us to be afraid. And he gives us the tools to deal with our fears. Paul is writing here to young Timothy. Young Timothy, it seems he had a great background, but he was a little timid because Paul was a very bold missionary. We read last week how he was stoned and they thought he was dead, and he stood up and said, all right, let's go preach to the next city. Not everybody has that makeup. Some of us are a little more timid about sharing our faith. And so Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says in verse 6, to stir up the gift that is in you by the laying on of my hands. In verse 7, he writes this. He says, for God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now that spirit of fear is in us. That spirit of fear is around us. That spirit of fear, if you will, is being stirred up all the time by the media. But God has given to us what we need to confront and to overcome, and that we can have the courage not to live in fear, but to live in faith. Fear does not have to dominate your life. And fear is what will turn into anxiety. Fear unchecked becomes anxiety. So when you have fear and you're constantly living in fear, then you're going to become anxious for everything and you're going to be fearful about everything. But God wants to give us courage. And this morning I want to encourage you that he says here, God has not given us the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear, that spirit of unsettledness, that spirit of worry, that spirit of dread, God has not given that to us. God wants us to live through his spirit, through his power, that we can have calm in the midst of the storm. Like Jesus. When the boat was in trouble and he was with the disciples and they were all worried and they were upset and they were fearful, what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. He wasn't worried because he knew he was in his Father's hands. And so this morning, let's look at these three keys, these three principles that Paul instructs Timothy about why he doesn't have to be timid, why he doesn't have to be filled with anxiety, and why he can overcome his fear. So first of all this morning, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power. So focus on God's power, not what you fear. Focus on God's power, not what you fear. Do you fear anything, or is anything that you may fear more powerful than God? How powerful is our God? How real is our God? Paul talks about the power of the resurrection is available to us. Talks in Hebrews 11:27 about Moses. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And notice what it says. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Listen, we represent God to this world. We're ambassadors. If we're as fearful as the world, what testimony do we have of the power of Jesus? Do we have a testimony that we have a tremendous opportunity now in this time where people are thinking about death, where people are thinking about the meaning of life, where all their whole world has been totally unsettled and turned upside down? Are we spinning around as the world, or are we a steady voice of reason and courage in the middle of trying times? Moses forsook Egypt because he was focused not on his own abilities. And that's part of fear. Fear is when we think about, what can I do? Who can I talk to? Who can help me? Faith is saying, God knows, and God has a solution, and God has the power, and God has the resources, and God has promised to me he's not going to leave me or forsake me, so I can trust in God. Need to focus on God. General George Patton said this, courage is fear holding on for a minute longer. He said, if you give to your fears, you're in the path of defeat. If instead you stand strong in spite of your fears, you are on the path to victory. And we must never forget that we are not in the battle alone with the power of God. So fear, so I'm not, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we will never be fearful, or that we won't have fear, or that we'll become this superhuman Christian that wears a cape where we don't fear everything, anything. We'll always fear. But when fear comes, we're going to say, wait a minute, I'm going to choose faith instead of fear. I'm going to hold on to the promises of God. I'm not going to give up to my fear or give in to my fears. I'm going to hold on and trust what God is going to do. Probably one of the most famous verses, and you probably know this verse, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. A verse that we think about that verse and we focus by faith on the power of the invisible God. We focus on his powerful hand, that he is there, he's not leaving us, he has the strength, he will uphold us with his right hand. So fear, or fearful situations, or crisis, instead of being negative, are an opportunity to strengthen and demonstrate our faith in God. And so we have this time to instead of giving into fear, to focus on the power of God. And so he says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power. Then he says, of love. So my second point this morning, how to overcome fear, is grow in love, which will outweigh your fear. Grow in love, which will outweigh your fear. Now, we are motivated by fear, but being motivated by fear never gives peace, because we will continually be fearful. When we drive down the road, even though it's 45 here, and when I drive Rebecca's car, that car can go fast. The turbo. I mean, I could easily go 65. And you say, well, you fear the police. Yeah, I do fear the police. But I don't want to run over a kid. So I fear for the police, but that's I'll always be fair, but if it's out of love, wait a minute, I love my neighbor. I don't want to run over my neighbor. So I'm not going to go over the speed limit where I'm going to jeopardize my neighbor. That's motivated out of love. 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears, notice what John says, has not been made perfect in love. Oftentimes our walk with God starts with fear, but if it stays there, you're not going to have an intimate relationship with God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus said, I call you what? Friends. So just like our relationship with God may start out in fear, it must grow into a relationship of love. And so you think about what happened during this time. Hoarding is a sign of selfishness, isn't it? Love is thinking, what can I do to give to my neighbor? This virus and situation, and even when you go to the store sometimes, you feel like you have the plague, the way some people act. Or we think about our own rights instead of respecting the feelings of others. God wants us to live out of love. And now we have the marches and the people all upset about what's going on in this country and racism. You can never overcome hate by more hate. Paul said, you overcome evil by good. Love is the only thing that can overcome hate. Love is the only thing that can overcome suspicion. Love is the only thing that can overcome our fears. And so we must grow to love God and be motivated by love. Christina Simmons is an example of a mother's love. What will a mother not do for her children? This woman was on the third floor of an apartment building that was burning. And all the exits were blocked. She had her 18-month-old baby. The only way to save her, she had one thing left to do, and she did it. She jumped out of the third story balcony. Ended up breaking a bone in her back. But her son Cameron only had a few scratches. The doctors didn't know she would walk again, but she did a few months later. We talk about a mother's love. When a mother is motivated by love, she'll confront anything. Even jumping out of a third story window that most of us would not naturally do. Love overcomes fear. And so Paul told Timothy, look, God hasn't given you fear. He's given you power, and he's given you love. You have the love of Christ in you, was poured into you by the Holy Spirit. You have the example of Jesus' sacrificial love. This should be a time, instead of closing ourselves in a bunker, we need to be get out. We need to get out in the community and show people love and compassion and kindness. That will help us overcome our fears. So, Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of love, of fear. Focus on the power of God. Don't focus on the fear. Focus on loving. And then the third point is this. Discipline your mind to confront your fear. Discipline your mind to confront your fear. A Japanese proverb says this: fear is only as deep as the mind allows. It says in the ESV, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. So this word for sound mind also talks about discipline. And so we could say a disciplined mind. You can discipline your mind. You can help your mind see clearly. And I think one of the reasons that we're overcome with fear today is because our mind has been inundated constantly with fearful scenarios. And we have this idea of to stay informed. Why? Why do you need to know what happened in the middle of Africa or happen wherever? I read a book about that one time, but we're so filled with unnecessary information that is not helpful to us. And we almost have this idea that it's almost required that we watch the news 24/7. Now, I never watch the evening news, the whatever. I just don't. I don't have time. It's too negative. It's too one-sided. But Daniel Gardner, I quoted him earlier, he wrote a book, The Science of Fear, How the Culture of Fear Manipulates Your Brain. And he said this: so the assumption of political experts is wrong. It isn't the less informed who are likely to be influenced by fear-driven advertising. It is the more informed. In other words, those that are just continually listening. I mean, if you would believe everything the media says. Now, I'm not saying people are evil or people. There's one goal in the media: make money. There's a lot of competition. Not like when I grew up. When I grew up, I had a dial on the TV and there were three news stations. And it was on for an hour. You had the local news for a half hour, and then you had the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather for a half hour. And that was it, till CNN came out with 24-hour news. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Not only do we have 24-hour cable news, now you have a social media feed. And if you're on a social... Now, there's one thing I can do. I learned this at the Breakfast Club. I knew about it. You know what I do on my phone? I turn off all the notifications. So when somebody throws a Facebook post, I don't get the notification. I'll look at it when I want to look at it, if I want to look at it. But if you have a notification for your email, your text message, your Facebook, if you do Instagram, Snapchat, whatever. Now, I may be talking like three younger people this morning, but TikTok, whatever. If you have all those, and I've seen people, what was that? What was that? Oh, my phone rang. You can go in the settings in Apple and Android, and you can disable those notifications. FYI, just giving you some free information. This is like inserted in the sermon this morning. But the idea is this. He said, self-control, a disciplined mind, a sound mind. How are we going to have a sound mind if we're bombarded with just all this stuff happening. So if we're filled with fearful thoughts all the time, naturally we're going to be fearful. So what we need to do is we need to turn it off. And you can just say, all right, I'm only going to watch news and social media for a certain amount of time during the day. Turn it off and focus on the Word of God. Focus on, and we're going to talk about that in a few weeks, how to transform our mind. But the Bible says this in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. But we can have a peaceful mind, but we're not going to have a peaceful mind if we fill it with garbage. Thank you, Michael. Or things that aren't profitable. Or things just to know, okay, yeah, we know that. Good, you know that. But you forget about it in 5 minutes. And then you become overly fearful. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be informed and we shouldn't read. And we should. However, if we're more informed what the latest talk radio guy is saying than what the Word of God is saying, we're not going to have a peaceful mind. God wants to keep us in peace. In this age we live in, we have to learn to slow down. We say, we're so busy nowadays. We still have 24 hours, as far as I know. Now, Tim, he's a teacher at the community Christian school. So is the rotation changed? Do we still have 24 hours every day? Okay, I just making sure. We still have 24 hours every day, the same time. We've just allowed ourselves and our minds to be occupied with so much. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And so Paul's telling Timothy, discipline your mind to confront your fears. When the fear comes, he will never leave me or forsake me. When the fear comes, fear not, for I'm with thee. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. When the fear comes, confront that fear with a disciplined mind and get the Word of God in your mind so you can confront that fear with the Word of God and the truth of God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. There's a story about a king. And when criminals would come to be executed, to be hanged, the king would tell the criminal, you have two choices. You can be hung by the rope, or you can choose what's behind that dark, iron, scary-looking door. The criminal said, I'll take the rope. As the noose was being slipped on him, he turned to the king and asked, by the way, out of curiosity, what's behind the iron door? The king laughed. Funny you said that. I offer everyone the same choice, but nearly everyone picks the rope. So said the criminal, tell me, what's behind the door? I mean, obviously, I won't be able to tell anyone. Point to the noose around his neck. The king paused and answered, freedom. But it seems most people are so afraid of the unknown that they immediately take the rope. That's what happens when we fall to our fears. Jesus is offering us freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How do we have the power to overcome the fears? We must be born again. We must know Jesus. And so if you really want to have total victory over your fears and not live a fearful, anxious life, you need to be born again. You need to know Jesus. And maybe you're listening on Facebook or live on YouTube this morning, and you're wanting to have a fearless life, at least to overcome what's troubling you. The Bible says that Jesus came to this earth. He died on the cross. But it wasn't an accident. He died for our sins. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But not only did he die for us, he arose again. And as we're going to have baptism in a few weeks, that symbolizes what happens in our heart, in our life, when we accept Jesus. The Bible says we're raised to newness of life. The Holy Spirit comes in our lives and transforms us. That's the power of God. We have the power of God today to overcome fear. Maybe you've been overcome by fear. Maybe you have fearful thoughts. Maybe you're allowing yourself to be more influenced by what the world is saying and what the media is saying than what the Word of God is saying. We have the promises of God. And we can have a life of perfect peace if we'll have our mind on God this morning. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you gave these words to young Timothy, who was timid and fearful. And Lord, this advice to us, an encouragement that you've not given us a spirit of fear. You've given us the spirit of power, of love, of a sound mind, disciplined mind. Oh Lord, help us to feed our soul, to overcome our fears, and be transformed by your power. We thank you for these promises. We thank you that we can choose freedom. And Lord, sometimes like that simple illustration, it can look scary. It can look unknown. What is going to happen tomorrow? Will the virus subside? Will it get worse? What's going to happen with the protest and the police and the hate? Am I going to have a job tomorrow? Lord, we're trusting you as Moses, as seeing him who is invisible, that you have the solution. And Lord, we give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song, an invitation. Maybe you just want to come and pray this morning.
You unravel me with a melody.
Lord, this morning we just again thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for the challenge from your word this morning. We don't have to be slaves to fear, but to know that we are free because of death and burial and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him all glory and honor and praise we give. Lord, just give us a great rest of the day and a great rest of the week, Lord, and ponder the things that we've been challenged with this morning. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.